I'm Jay.
I'm Adrian.
And together we are the Two Crazy Cat Ladies. I'm gonna cut you.
I think I just peed.
Buckle up.
We're back in the closet.
Welcome to another episode of Two Crazy Cat Ladies Back in the Closet. Or is it Back in the Closet with the Two Crazy Cat Ladies? It's been a while. We are so excited to be here for a very important and very special episode, guys. For those of you guys that are watching live right now, this is our first time ever having a celebrity cat on a podcast. So it's a really special event for us.
Not to mention the two gorgeous human beings who are absolutely amazing that have all of their knowledge about how this beautiful boy is really helping to change the world for a lot of cats.
Yeah, so we are joined today by Nick and Kayla and Surfer Cat Mav, right, to discuss with you guys all the important things about traveling with cats. We were like, we wanted to talk about this a few weeks ago, and then we were like, okay, well, you know, you read the internet, you do your research, you got the stuff and things, but we don't travel well with our cats. So we were like, we need the experts. So we reached out to our friends, Nick and Kayla, and we were like, would you please come on the episode with us so that everybody can get like expert advice on traveling with cats.
So for anyone that doesn't already know your beautiful boy, Surfer Cat Mav, or either one of you guys, I love that you guys are so front and center at so many cat charities and events and all that. You guys are really rocking it. So for anyone that does not know you guys yet, could you give us a little brief intro before Mav knocks the camera over?
Yeah. I'm Kayla Tavish, Surfer Cat Mav's mom. He's going to be in and out because, of course, he doesn't sit still for very long. And Nick Heaney, that's Cat Dad, I guess.
I love it. And how long have you guys, well, tell a little bit of a backstory of Mav. Is this your first traveling cat, if you will? Is this your first cat that surfs? Is this your first?
Yeah, what's the story?
Yeah, what's your story?
Well, we had a cat before Maverick, a rescue tabby named Titten. And she actually went on adventures too, but she didn't learn till late in life. Once we got him, they sort of overlapped for a little while. She died at 15. So we feel like, of course, you want to have them longer, but I felt blessed that we did get to have as long with her as we did. But we taught her like around 14, 13 and a half to walk on a leash. She would go on a kayak and camping. So he's not necessarily our only, but he was definitely the first. And he kind of paved the way for teaching her and also teaching us. You know, a lot of it has really been trial and error. And we just kind of like figured out what works for him. And then that's what we share with his online community. And he's going to show you his bottom.
Oh, internet meeting would be the same without a cat butt, right? It's no. I mean, we preface every meeting that we have with, just so you know, you might see a cat butthole in your face at some point.
I'm only
it's happening.
Glad that the people that are listening to the podcast don't get this silky sweet.
Good boy.
Sit.
Girl.
He's like,
no.
So when we think about traveling with cats, we were talking earlier, and I was like to Jay, I was like, anytime I think about traveling with cats, I'm like, what a nightmare, right?
Well, a lot of people do. That's their initial reaction, especially when they see us out. They're like, is it even worth it? But with acclimation and training, it's pretty much like flawless for us. And I'm not meaning to brag like it's super easy because of his personality. I think we just put the time in. And when you do something, you know, that Malcolm Gladwell, 1,000 hours, and I think it's 10,000 hours actually. But once you do something enough times, it sort of becomes second nature. So for us, it is pretty easy. I would say it's just really hard initially getting started. And
let's talk about the acclimation. I think that's one of the biggest things. Like how, you know, first of all, the sad statistics out there, less than 15% of our household cats actually go to the vet.
Even to the vet, right? Like, which is usually like around the corner. It's like, it's, you know, it's within your city. It's not too far. But you guys have traveled with Mav all over the world. Like you guys have been to different countries. You guys travel to different states. You guys travel all the time. So
he has his own passport.
Oh my goodness.
And what? It's not a novelty. This is government issued from the European nation. European Union. All of the countries that are under that jurisdiction recognize it.
That is so cool. Like, even if we don't ever take our cats to Europe, I want to get them a passport now.
Yeah, I mean, it's very legit too. Like, it's got his photo. I'm sorry, I've got to find the camera there to show you.
Oh my.
Gives you like all of his details and make sure that he's up to date on his shots and his rabies. And then when you just come to, like, we did this in Italy and Switzerland, you get there to do the customs check, you just show this and he's good to go.
That is so cool.
Okay, so that's definitely a 2.0 travel tip right there, the passport. Yeah. Who knew? I had no idea.
Yeah. But let's get back to the training part, because I think that's always the hardest part for cat parents is training their cats to do anything or not to do anything, right? It's just like you take cats in and then all of a sudden the cats own you. You don't own them and they do what they want. And, you know, and then when it comes to something that they don't want to do, like traveling, you have to go into some kind of training thing and then we're all just dumbfounded. So where do you start?
Yeah.
So I think with a cat, you can tell visibly if they're not enjoying something. With a dog, you see the owners that kind of like pull them places and maybe they're a little bit apprehensive, but for the most part, they just kind of go along with it. With cats, if they don't like something, they turn into liquid and they're like flailing all over the place. So we basically just say, start with your foundation, start really, really small. We encourage people to do their harness training inside the house for about 3 to 4 hours each day. Let them eat their food, play with their feather toys, really get used to wearing it. We're firm believers in a minimal harness because cats don't like to feel constricted. And then from there, I always say, go into your backyard, go to a place that has like really low stimuli, maybe a park where you know that there's no dogs or loud garbage trucks moving around. You don't want any noises that are going to scare them right off. And then just sort of keep putting the time in and keep working on it. Once you get to a point where your cat's comfortable being outside in a public setting and walking on a leash, then I think the best place to prep for the airport is the shopping malls, like outdoor shopping malls. It kind of gives you that sense of people, hustle and bustle. It also makes you feel a little bit confined because once you leave your car, once you get halfway into the mall, you still have to be able to get halfway out. And that I always tell our students is your best preparation is sort of mimicking something that feels like the airport. We've had some students that actually just go to the airport, don't have a flight. They'll just go to like baggage claim and walk their cat around and see how it's feeling. It sounds crazy when you hear it. It wouldn't sound crazy if I was a dog owner telling other dog owners this. So we are trying to get over that sort of stigma or hurdle of people thinking, okay, this lady is crazy. Leave your cat at home. Like, but I think if you give your cat that foundation, it helps them to kind of find their feet through it. And not every personality is made for it. We do acknowledge that, but I do believe that with enough training, you can get to a point where even like the most shy cat could enjoy being in the backyard and chasing butterflies and getting some fresh air.
Yeah, I think that's invaluable too. I mean, I know we're gonna. I already see comments coming in about the harness.
We will discuss the harness very soon
and show it to you and all explain everything about that. I think though that so it's one thing to talk about getting to the airport for those of us that are still stuck at the house. How do you recommend? What are some tips that you guys have for getting your cat used to just the car ride?
Once you have them used to the harness and they're okay and comfortable with that, and then you take them outside and I feel like cats take to the outdoors a lot faster for the most part than they do the car, right? So then you got to get them in the car. So what are some like tips that you have for like getting them to the mall or getting them to the airport or taking them, we have a lot of people reach out to us on a regular basis that are, they're literally moving across the country.
Yeah.
And they have these cats that they've never trained and they're like, what do I do?
Yeah.
Because you don't want it to be a painful experience.
Right.
With the car, we have told a lot of students, it seems like it would be so technical and tough. It was as simple as just kind of putting on the music in the car, parked in the driveway or parked in your garage, And then just take your cat out with treats or food and just constantly be doing it. You know, if you're on your social media or you've got like some business to do, bring your laptop and just kind of hang out and normalize it. After you do 5-6 days of that, then you can just do short trips around the block. You don't want it to be traumatic. You want it to be sort of gradual so that it kind of sneaks up on them that they're like, oh, this is normal. This is that thing that we do where we get to have a treat and hang out.
And I feel like as long as they're not in a carrier,
this is important too.
Do not freak out, because it's weird. We with our old cat Titten was a little rescue. As soon as I would go for the bag, and she would just freak out. So it's really, cats don't like to be like
enclosed.
So you guys don't recommend putting them in. Mav doesn't travel in a carrier in the car at all.
He does. He travels in his surfer cat bag, but it's open, so the lid's actually down, and he feels free. He also has a seatbelt. You can get those on like Amazon for $10. We use the dog one. It clips into either the headrest, or there's some that actually physically clip into the buckle where your lap belt would be, and then that clips into his harness so that he has some form of safety if we were to get an accident, which actually has happened to us about a year and a half ago.
That's actually a really serious point, because I think a lot of people, and we've actually dealt with this with our babies. Yeah. You're absolutely right about normalizing that car situation. Mm-hmm. And with our Zorro, who definitely has a personality of wanting adventure, he's got that same kind of personality. He still freaks out when it's time to go to the vet because we put him in a carrier.
Yeah.
We're not just sitting in the car and letting him kind of talk to the birdie friends out the window.
But sometimes, but like back a couple of years ago, we used to go drive up to the lake in our community, and we would go live on Facebook. It was during like COVID. So it was like during the pandemic where we were just like, let's just, you know, everybody was stuck at home. So we didn't put them because we're literally just going like less like a few feet up the road. We didn't put him in a carrier, and he loves the car. Like he loves it. Yeah. And we're like, okay, so, but what if we got in an accident? So this makes a lot of sense as to, do you guys have your own personal, like carrier? Like, is that yours? Is that your brand?
This is our brand, but I mean, you could use any carrier, I think, in an open fashion, as long as they're going to stay sort of within a 2 foot. I would say that seatbelt probably extends maybe only a foot and a half.
Seatbelt gives you about two.
But it lets them go to the window. It lets them sort of, if they're in the passenger, some people are against the passenger seat because the airbags could deploy and that could actually be fatal for them. So a lot of times people recommend the back seat. We're not as strict about that if he's like in the bag on my lap, as long as he's buckled in. The buckled in part is non-negotiable. The rest is kind of, we go with what is going to work to make it a pleasurable experience for him, but also be as close to safety as we can.
And then when we stop, like we just unclip it right away, so then Mav can run around the car, because they love to do that and go to the window. You only have to watch it though, because he will press the button to drop the window.
Yes.
And you have to watch that, because that can catch.
I don't think he knows he's doing it, but yeah, we always have to put the child locks on. When we're not driving down the road.
I had to say back about 18 years ago,
she's got a cat in a drawer right now.
Sorry, excuse us. I did not know. She is hard at work. I really didn't know any better. I think so much of our journey as the Two Kids of Cat Ladies is really just once we know better, we do better. And 18 years ago, I drove cross country with 4 cats. And I knew immediately they hated being in
carriers.
Right. So
they never really had, because we were part of that 15% that never took their cats to the vet. They never traveled.
Unless they needed something, right?
Yeah.
I let them roam free. I had a little Mazda at the time, and I let them roam free in the car, put the seats down, had their litter box and their food and everything in the back, and drove 2,000 miles with those babies. But to your point, Nick, yeah, they will find that window button and they will.
You remember.
Oh my gosh. It's like.
It's scary. You have to like be unaware. Is the child lock on? Is it not? Like, and then they just go right up to the window and stand on it and it goes down, and you have to be ready. It's scary.
Yeah. Well, I think this is a really powerful light bulb moment, though. I think for a lot of us that feel like we have to put them in the carrier, that's the safest. Even though I've read studies that say unless the carrier is properly secured, that's absolutely, it's just as dangerous. The only thing is, obviously, in a wreck, they're not going to escape the car, right?
Yes.
But recognizing that there are, and I've seen that there are carriers that have the seatbelt apparatus stuff built in, and not all of our carriers have that. So this is really an awesome thing, I think, for all of us to recognize, is that cats do like that feeling of freedom. And that is something possible with the right harness, the right seatbelt clip, all of that.
It gives me a whole new, like, literally right now, like,
I can't wait to see more cat tips,
right? Like, yes. Like, it gives me a whole new, like, vision and of how to properly travel with your cat, like how to get your cat into the car and be comfortable. Because like I said, you know, Zorro and probably, and Madison for sure as well. One day, like she would scream in the car. And one of our vets was like 45 minutes away. And I had to take her in for something. And I was, when she was just a kitten, and I was driving home, and I drove the back streets because I just, you know, I just wanted to drive slowly. And so I drove the back streets. So it took like an hour and a half, and it was like 5 o'clock traffic. So it was ridiculous. And she was just like crying so loud that I was like, screw it. Like, just get out. Like, just. It's fine. It's fine.
And if you're weighing that kind of stress and like a once a year, twice a year risk of an accident, I almost do think, and this is probably very controversial, but the cat's better off to be loose as long as they can't get underneath you and you're maybe not by yourself, if it's not a danger right. to you, the human.
Right.
But at the same time, I mean, there's like that overstress level that really comes out when they're in that bag and they feel like their world's closing in. So it's kind of like weighing what your best options are.
Right. Wow. Yeah. Because stress can also be very detrimental to our cats as well.
And that's really why, you know, those vet visits are so important. I feel like so many people reach out to us and say, my cat would not live to get to the vet's office. It's so stressful for them.
Yeah.
So just to recap for anyone that's just now joining us, I think what you guys have said about that acclimation time, really normalizing time in the car, just getting in the car with them, securing them in the car.
First the harness, right?
Yes.
So first the harness, which gives me a whole new view of like harness training, because we tried harness training for so long because my idea was we're going to take our cats for walks. And so
let them explore.
Right. And so with our Panthers, that's when they were young, we wanted to do that. And then, you know, after the first few times outside, like they just heard a loud noise. There was just a noise that you can't control, the noises in your neighborhood. And they both literally became liquid and scooted out of those harnesses, and they went running in opposite directions. Thank God there were two of us out there at the time, because she was able to grab one while I grabbed the other. But like, they could have got run over. They like, it could have been a, and so it tainted us. Tainted us? I don't think that's the right word.
Jaded us.
Jaded you. It makes you not want to go back.
Yeah. And we didn't. We tried buying different harnesses, and then we would do like short little things, but like we never felt confident enough that they wouldn't do it again, that they wouldn't just, you know, creep out. But 4 or 5 hours a day, 3 to 4 hours a day in the harness, being, you know, during the day in the house, playing with them, giving them treats. All of that, that's totally doable for all of us, right? And then moving to the backyard, and then, or even the garage, or just anywhere that they haven't explored before, and that's quiet, and that they're not going to get too spooked about, and then slowly bringing that, even if that's all we go, guys, even if that's all the steps we take, and we don't take them out to like massive, you know, parties or go, you know, go do exciting things. But what we know at that point is that then we can start taking them in the car. And even if they don't get introduced to dogs in the neighborhood, and they don't get introduced to other cats anywhere else, that is like, that's fucking Oh, sorry. That's freaking mind blowing to me right now. I am seriously mind blown.
This is beautiful. Yeah.
Just by this, like, and I know it's probably stupid, like stupid, simple.
Well, a lot of people get really excited, not just the vet too, like say that there's an emergency, like a fire or flooding, and you need to get your pets out like really quick too. Having that like foundation of the harness training, it'll make you feel just a little bit more confident in your emergency protocol, which I always recommend everybody prepares with an emergency protocol so that you know where everything is that you got to grab in a quick situation.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah. Mary just said this changes everything. Mary, you are so correct. Like this, right? This is what's so exciting about this beautiful cat community. And
she's going to jump over.
Are you coming down? What's so incredible is, are you coming down, baby girl?
Not yet.
Okay. She's up. Working together as a community, learning so many new things. Like for us, that whole harness thing was just very much just too scary. You know, we wanted so badly to do it, but to recognize, and we have been through, and we're going to get to this. We've been through about a dozen different harnesses. We're like, well, maybe this one will be, maybe this one will be a little bit better incoming. Hold on.
She changed her mind.
Never mind.
Most people do come to us after they've tried many other harnesses. I don't think everyone, I would say 80% of our students, customers come to us after trying 3, 4, 5 harnesses and failing. And then they'll find that our design works because we kind of went to the board and just figured out what we didn't like about what was currently on the market. And a lot of the harnesses are made by dog harness manufacturers, so they don't walk their cats every day. And then of the ones that, you know, did fit a little bit better, it's also that risk of them being able to back out of it.
Yeah. So have you guys ever had the experience of them backing out of it? Or and so is that like part of the reason why we have to create our own?
Exactly. We were on Melrose Boulevard. He was like maybe 4 months old.
He was just a kitten. And we were like, let's take him out. And he was doing great. And then
he was wearing like a chest plate like harness.
Because I was like, I want to get him one of these really strong, bulky, tough looking harnesses. Because they're the ones that are the most secure and, you know, strong. And just went like this out on Melrose and went across the road, and Kayla and
cars were whizzing by people.
We were like, what?
He didn't realize he was off leash. So as soon as I went up to him, he let me pick him up, and I just like composed myself, ran back to the car, got to the car and just broke down. And in that moment I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize what he meant to me.
Yeah.
And my mom's, she's like a big part of our company. She taught fashion design for like 30 years. So we just kind of got with her and we just kept making up all sorts of different designs until we could come up with something that we were happy with.
Because in the moment I was like, it needs to be strong and big. And then I ended up, you know, going back to the drawing board of what would be the opposite of that? You know, what would be the most minimal? And I, you know, came up with like, well, it would be like fishing line around the vital parts that it didn't know it was wearing. And we started with that basis and we went so that the cats don't really know they have it on. And Maverick learned to walk, you know, with the harness as we developed them, and we were all trial and error. And then Titten was 15 and she literally learned to walk with the harness in about 4 to 5 days. She just watched Maverick and it was like monkey see, monkey do. She just did it. And she was 15 years old. It was crazy.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
This really does. I kind of feel I had all these questions about, you know, focusing on carriers.
Well, yeah, let's ask
but
about.
This really is just a.
I know, for us, right? But this is often what happens whenever we bring like an expert on, when we're like, we don't know enough to talk about something, we need to bring somebody on that can like explain it to our community
and us.
And us, then. End up with all this like awesome information. Now I'm super excited. I'm just super excited for our cats. Okay, so let's do ask like just a few general questions. So if you're traveling in the car and you guys are going on a long trip, or you're traveling in an airplane and going on a long trip, what do you do about food and bathroom situation? Because we get the question all the time.
So I'm going to be shamelessly plugging our bag, but it does have a litter box in the lower zip compartment. So if we're on an airplane, you just like unzip it. If we're at a cafe, Other people, they'll put like a small travel litter box in their car. I recommend that as well. There's a lot of other alternatives if you didn't want to like particularly invest in this one. But for us, this came out of necessity. Most of our products, like, we just created because they didn't exist. And we were so frustrated. I remember when I first got Maverick, I wanted to take him everywhere. And we were editing a project in the studio. And I was coming in with like a litter box underneath my arm. And I was like, this is kind of gross, you know? So I Google litter box in a carrier and it didn't exist. And it still doesn't, except for ours. So I was like, okay, this is definitely something I need to at least make for myself. So my mom helped us sort of put together. The early model was not very cute, but it was functional. And so we would use that on a daily basis with him, and then eventually tried to glam it up a bit. So it kind of had like that handbag feel.
So what do you do? Like, if you guys are on a, if you guys are like on a car trip, say, you just like, when you stop, you open it up for the litter box and then let him use it. And then that's like, if he needs to, or, And then eating, is it the same thing? Like if they're traveling
We have like a little collapsible bowl that we'll usually put on the side. Oh, here it is. On the side of his bag. So we have it there for convenience. And we have one for water and one for food. I don't know if you can see. I can unclip it.
Yeah.
These are quite popular in like the dog community. You can get them anywhere. Of course, we have our own, but I mean, anyone will do. And then sometimes if you go to like the different expos and whatever, they'll give them to you as a promo gift. We have several of those. We do like level 2 for the food and then for the water all the way down. I'm sorry, there's the camera.
That is so cool.
He thinks he's getting something.
He thinks he's getting
something.
It's a good time for him. Oh, that's another thing actually that reminds me. When you're out and about, you want to do a high value meal or a high value treat. So you probably wouldn't want to give them whatever if it's boring, their everyday food. You'd want to jazz it up a little bit so that they are excited when they're out and they get to have that treat. That's why he came running, because he's like, oh, okay, this is better than my normal dinner. What am I getting?
Yeah.
So that's a big question, because I know a lot of people, and I've actually seen on different, you know, traveling blogs and such, that they withhold food and water during the trip. And I saw your IG post video just about that, as far as you don't, and that you try to keep their routine as normal as possible. Talk a little bit about why that is, and why you believe that that's the better way to go.
I sometimes get a lot of controversial flack from it, but I'm very, very strong on no drugs for them. And no restricting of food or water. And my actual thoughts on it are, if someone slipped you something and you were going on a huge trip across Europe and it was all new people and you were all these different sounds and you're afraid you're gonna miss your train, and then all of a sudden you've been doused with something and you don't even know it. So you're gonna be like, am I sick? Have I been poisoned? What's going on? And then you're gonna be even more frantic. So I just kind of try to put myself in their place. I mean, I'm absolutely, if you need to take drugs for like a surgery or a recovery, I'm not against it in that sense, but I'm against it for the humans sort of convenience at the cost of the cat's comfort. So I feel like if you just build a foundation and you get them used to it, that's going to be far better, sort of training into it and letting them find their feet with travel. And don't just go from like day one harness training in the house to like Home Depot with loud lumber noise or the airport. You'd want to gradually build up to it. And then with the withdrawing the food and the water, again, I feel like that's for the human's comfort. They're scared that they're gonna cry the whole time because they have to go to the bathroom, or that they're gonna do a number 2 in the carrier and it's gonna stink and waft and all of your neighbors are gonna be mad and you're gonna be getting dirty looks. And this is everybody's like fear. And so that's why I think that having this bag really does give people a little bit of that extra comfort. Does it have to be this? No, you can pack like a baggie with litter and you could offer and have a small like plastic pan that you offer, but just giving them that outlet, because I think it's inhumane to expect them to hold it or to withdraw the food and the water and expect that that's going to solve the problem of whether they're going to go or not.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that I shouldn't, without her consent, drug Adrian to get her to Ireland?
Definitely true.
Is she afraid of planes? Are you afraid of planes?
She's so afraid. She's worse than a cat. I'd bring my cat before I bring Adrian on a plane.
That's true. That's a whole different podcast.
It is.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that one.
That's going to be a fun one.
But I've got to get over there to meet the wee haggis.
Yes, that's going to be good. That'll be fun. You know, it's funny. The cats are funny too, because you won't believe this, but they actually like to step it up incrementally. So like if you teach the cat to put on the harness and it gets a treat in the house, the next day it'll be like, I want that treat, and it'll go towards where the harness is, and it'll put two and two together. And once the cat, they're kind of like little adrenaline junkies. And once they learn like to go in the car and they're not frightened of the car, then they want the next thing, which might be to play in the backyard. And they continually, we've noticed with Mav and with Titten when she was alive, that they like to incrementally try and push themselves a little bit each time. I don't know why. So they always say, you know, the cats are so adventurous and curious. But we see this with Mav. I mean, he went from the car to walking on the street, overcoming noises on Sunset Boulevard when, you know, we lived in LA, and then Home Depot with the forklift trucks. At first he was like, and then he would be like, I got this now. And you'd see the cat.
Gives them like self-efficacy, fulfillment,
yeah, it's really
and
crazy.
Conquering a fear.
So they're, don't be nervous, people, when, you know, the first time they're petrified to, you know, maybe go in the backyard or to go somewhere. But I always recommend, and Kayla speaks about it, the cat should just feel like the harness is like a second skin before they go out. And if it can associate the harness with treats, that's a really big step. That'll get them to the car, and then, you know, maybe from the car to the backyard and stuff. So
I love that. We were talking with Julie Possum, who has cat school, cat.school for those who got fun. Are you stuck, baby?
No,
girl?
She just doesn't want to let go.
On YouTube. Hi, Friday. Do you want to come say hi, baby girl?
You're my baby girl.
Yeah. And she was really talking about, I love that she talks about how training is such an enrichment for cats. And you really just spoke to that, because I think a lot of people just think, oh, well, cats are the cute little love loaf that sits on my sofa all day long. These are little predatory animals that are made for, adventure. They're the cliche of curiosity killed the cat. Hi, baby girl. They are always wanting to kind of explore. And to your point as well about something new, pushing the envelope, you know, we know even just with toys and in the very traditional sense, switching up their toys, creating novelty for them is so important. Yeah. It's mentally enriching. It's emotionally stimulating for them.
That's such a great point. Because
really taking that into this context of what I think, you know, to so many of us, traveling with cats being a nightmare. It's just like, ugh, because we've done it once, because we had to go to the vet or whatever it was. And we don't understand the significance of incremental acclimation and how it can be so rewarding for our cats, and how then it can make simple vet visits exciting for them. And taking that even a step further to having them a part of going down to the lake and checking out the little ducky ponds. And incredible.
Oh, I remember Mavi was just a kitten, and we hadn't taken him out too many times, but I remember the first time we took a picnic somewhere, and it was a big field. And I remember the first time he was running on the retractable leash, and he saw a tree, and he'd never seen one. And I remember his first time he jumped on it, and he was like, what is this? And then he tried to climb a few, you know, feet, and then he like went back down. And I remember that as his first time. And then after that, they love to run and climb up the trees on the leash. It's quite fun.
When he's happy, I'm happy. So like when I see him like getting all giddy about like little things outside, I can't help but be like glowing, happy that he's enjoying himself.
Yeah, same. It's like that with all of us, right? As cat parents, we just when our babies are happy, we're happy, right?
Yeah.
When we're not. So you guys are so, I love this so much, because it's I think it's going to be actually life changing for us. And of course, you know, our community too, because we're going to take you guys on this journey. Because now I feel confident after talking to you guys tonight, and we've talked like off camera a ton of times, but we haven't talked about this specific subject in this way. And now I'm so excited because we're going to try it again, and we're going to do it the right way this, so that we don't have to be anxiety ridden and scared of our cats running away or getting hit by a car.
Let's go back to harness for a minute, because I do let's do this, because I remember so clearly, especially with our Zora on Friday, our little mini panthers. That was Friday that just kind of came and said hi. It did take a couple of days to get them used to the harnesses, and they were the big breastplate harnesses with Velcro on the back and the little all that. And it took them a couple of days to get used to it, and then we would adventure out into the backyard and watching them, you know, there's a bug or there's a this, or smelling the air, or eating the grass, whatever it was. Exactly like you just said, Kayla, it was just such it's like a whole new sense of wonder, right? Mm-hmm. To see our cats enjoying something like that. So for it to be shut down in that moment of a loud noise and total freak out panic for all involved.
Oh, Zorro especially, he cried at the door for years, right? Like, I mean, he still sometimes is like, aww, he wants to go outside, and I'm like, I want you to. And like, we're still looking for somebody to help us finish building this catio so that they can have this catio, right? So because we want them to be able to go outside, but it's so nerve-wracking to us that we're like, I don't think it's going to be a happy experience, except for Zorro, right? Like, even though we didn't let him go necessarily back out, we would let him go out and we'd take him out in the stroller.
The catio thing,
we
right?
had a tiny catio that that he'd get to go out in, and or that all of them would get to go out in, and they really love it to be able to be out there, but not, they don't really get to explore in those ways. If you're in a stroller, you don't get to explore. If you're in a tiny little catio chicken coop, really, right? You don't get to explore anything. And he's always wanted to explore. And it's funny that you guys say, Nick, you said that they got trained so quickly with the harness. And it was like, okay, now I want the harness. We still used every time we took him in the car to drive up to the lake, which was like every day, 5 days a week for a while. We'd still put on his little harness. Not, he didn't have a leash or anything like that, but it was basically his, like, if he was wearing this, then he was going in the car. So we were trying to, you know, like attribute it to something. Yeah.
And that's foundation training right there. Right. And GAX with Y.
Yes. And it had a little bell on it. And so, and we had it in this drawer in our bar area. And anytime I opened that drawer, even if I was trying to just move around it and I accidentally touched the harness, he would come running like, oh, we're going for a ride. We're going for a ride.
Yeah, and if I pick it up right now and jingle it, he would come running because I'm like, it's dark, honey. We're not going outside.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So I want to talk about this, and I apologize to everyone listening to the podcast that you're not going to be able to see this, but we have.
But link is in the description, so you guys can go check it all out.
We have here the Surfer Cat Luxury, designed in California by people who walk their cats every day. Escape proof cat harness. Look at this packaging, you guys.
Pretty. Like, look.
It's so gorgeous, and I'm so extra excited about this. I think, you know, we haven't opened this. We've had it for a hot minute. We haven't opened it because in the past, and I just want to repeat this for everybody that still has that kind of angsty feel about traveling, it feels like it's going to be something stressful, right? It feels like it's going to be stressful. So I want to explore. Jay's like, open it now.
I'm like, open it.
I want to explore everything about this harness. Nick, you were talking about the design. Look at that. I'm just going to let
it. So it features a floating backstrap. And so that actually swivels side to side via the leash, which is what takes any sort of pressure off the neck. And then the ability of it being super minimal is also what makes your cat have a little bit more confidence. They don't want to feel constricted. Same with the bag. The freer they can feel, the easier it is. So it's 1 ounce, less than an ounce.
It's just an ounce. And what you were saying, Adrian, before is the ones with the cats, we found out by trial and error, they don't really like anything on their heart and on their vitals. So if a lot of people put a harness on the cat and it just lies down on its side and it's like, screw you, I don't want to walk. Because it has that reaction. But with the minimal on the neck and minimal on the stomach, and then the floating back strap, they don't really know it's on them. And they have full range and nothing's touching the vitals because they hate that feeling.
You know? They really like to protect that sort of the guts and the heart area. That's why when your cat shows you your belly, you know it trusts you and it's sort of giving you something. So when it's rubbing on them, when they're in a foreign environment, like the backyard or wherever you end up taking them, that also adds to extra anxiety and stress.
It's also adjustable, which I like a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, like the... We once got a ferret harness for one of our kittens. We were like, oh, they're that small. So the Jack wants it. Jack is like, he's trying to get to it right now.
Well, I want
to. And I'm trying to put the little sunglasses. Oh, those are...
Yeah, baby.
That was like our summertime promo, but they're so fun. They have a little... like Ray-Ban server cat.
So let's talk about this a little bit for those listening on the podcast. I want to kind of explain this design because it is so minimal compared to, and I think there is that psychology to all of us that if it's bigger and strong, whatever, that it's going to be safer. And what we're looking at here is basically a collar. And then on the top, it goes down the neck, back, shoulder blades area. And then it also wraps around kind of the chest area, and it is just two, you know, like it looks like a small collar and then a bigger.
Come on.
And that back strap feels like it, because it swivels side to side, it takes a lot of the pressure, like Kayla was saying, off the neck.
Yeah.
So I can show you on the actual, yeah, he's wearing his. So this is the part that swivels side to side. And so it seems odd and weird, but it gives them complete mobility. Which is really nice.
And they can't get out of it.
No.
We always challenge people to get into that environment, but in a safe place. Let a loud noise happen. Most of our customers, if you read our reviews, they're always so astounded that their cat didn't escape when that noise and that moment came. A lot of people will say on the internet that there's no truly escape-proof harness. And I mean, it's probably 99.99%. There's probably that cat that can. But when worn nice and snug, give it a try. You will find with yours, and I will stand corrected if you have any escapes, but give it a try and let me know when you have those moments when they become liquid, how it bodes for you.
Okay, well, let's talk about this leash for a second. What is this, this feather extraordinary?
Right. So you see that? That's what we invented to teach them to walk in a straight line. Because when you first get the cat out and they're comfortable in their harness, they don't necessarily understand how to walk in a line. And I came up with the lure idea where if you dangled it and then hit retract, it would run away from the cat and the cat follows it. So they learn how to walk in a straight line. You just don't want to let the cat get a hold of that in the house.
Yes.
You want to hide that.
Right there, that you have to hide it when you're not on a walk because they will tear it apart. But you just basically lower the leash, give it a wiggle on the ground, and then you allow it to suck back up and they'll sort of move in the direction that you want them to. And it's repetition training as well. So over time, you just will jingle the leash. They hear the bell and they'll sort of come in that direction. Cats are so different from dogs. I mean, they just don't do well with any sort of negative reinforcement. I don't think we would even consider that even in any realm. No. But they love the repetition. So the more they do something, then it becomes familiar. And I think that's how we've done almost all of our training.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is incredible. I absolutely think, we've known you guys for a hot minute. We just fell.
We've had some good traveling.
We've absolutely fallen in love with you guys. And really, you know, it's kind of a mesmerizing thing. I remember when you guys were here for Super Zoo and you brought Mav through the casino, and so many people just around the casino were like, what is the, oh my God, mesmerized. Killing in the casino.
And he was so happy. And he was so, you know, like, I mean, you
saw.
You know,
he loves it. Yeah.
We always look for the body language. So I think that's important too when you take them out. Guarded is medium, like halfway, which is fine. That just means that they're guarded. But if it's underneath or fully tucked, you need to come down a step, go back into the house, make it a little, you just kind of listen to that body language. If it's flagging high, you can probably move on further steps than you thought just based on their personality.
Reading your cat.
That's incredible. So let's talk a little bit. You guys talk about your students and where can people find you if they want to really reach out and kind of have a consult with you or something like that? How can they do that?
You can check out surfercat.com. That's where we have all of his products. Surfercatmav on Instagram and all forums from TikTok to Facebook. I'm the most active on Instagram, so I always lead with that. We don't do any consults, so I give away all of my information for free. All of our videos are free. I don't ever want to do like a course training where you have to pay because I really want to like help this movement. The only way, if you do want to support us or your cat and their training, you can purchase from us. Not to say that you can't harness train with a different harness. Absolutely, you totally can. If you want to go with ours, we're just sharing what's worked for us and kind of like all the hurdles that we had to get over in order to make this an everyday lifestyle. The bag makes it so that we can go to cafes, and we do full days where we'll be on a kayak for 4 hours and then we go to a 2-hour dinner and then we're walking around the mall area and I don't have to think, oh, he needs the bathroom. If he does, it's there. We're good to go. So that's how you can find us. And that's where we are.
I have to say, you know, I think that over the past 8 years that we've been with you Crazy Cat Ladies, it's been amazing to watch the community grow and the innovation within it. And you at the top of this podcast said what I think is just so powerful. And that's that you found something, you needed a resource for your cat. You needed something and it didn't exist. So you created it.
Yep.
And that I have so much mad respect for you. I admire what you guys are doing. I'm so grateful to get to know you guys. Quick question for Mary before we have to wrap up. Does the harness work well with extra puffy long-haired cats?
It does. So I do recommend our XL, even if we have to custom make it smaller because it has a wider nylon. I don't know if I gave you guys some XLs, but that would be the thicker band ones. If you have all the thin, it's because most of your cats are not.
So that one's thicker than this.
I would say for the longer hair, then that way it doesn't sort of pinch or gather in any way.
On the hairs.
Okay. So this is Annie's. This is Annie's.
Oh, I love this when you open up.
Oh, yeah, because she is like Maine Coonie, very long hair.
Yes, she is. I love that when you open this box, you guys, I know we're all about to go get harnesses. We're about to get a couple more.
Where will your next adventure take you?
This really opens up the sky for us.
You guys have impeccable packaging. Like that is impeccable. Like it is just gorgeous. So nice. So
I mean, and big shout out to like our students and customers that have been with us. Like there was a day when we used to make the harnesses in the other room and then put them in like a little gauze bag and ship them off. And they still supported us because they were like, we love this, but we've really sort of evolved over the years. And I really wanted it to be a luxury kind of feeling with it. And so that packaging means a lot to me. It's also not to have a footprint on the environment. It doubles as a travel box. So when you do take them on trips, you can bring 3 or 4 different harnesses with you. Don't throw it away. It's not that kind of packaging.
Yes, how could you throw that away?
You don't throw this box away. You don't. But also props on making it feel more luxury because it really does help with the mindset. Psychology, I think, for us cat people of it being something that's kind of stressful. I mean, it really is something that is enriching and
so
exciting.
Good for our cats.
Yeah.
Just to end with this, the longest living cats in the world, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, the two oldest, both lived to 38 years old. Oh, and the thing that they both might do, we're trying to build the longest living cat. And so that's why this is all so important because, of course, diet and there's so many things that are very important when it comes to your cat living a long life. But enrichment, these cats got to go outside every day. And now they, you know, it was years ago before any of this was invented by you. And you know, they weren't on leashes and, but they had, you know, they were on farmland and they got to run. So they were in a safe environment to go outside and run outside. But that's one of the the common the things that they have in common is that they got to they had a lot of love and they got to go outside and explore their environment. And so I think, you know, that's always been for us, it's always been like that missing key, which is why it's like we just dropped $3,000 on some concrete to get the foundation to build the catio, because I'm like, if we're gonna build the longest living cats, they have to go outside somehow.
Yeah. But,
like this, vitamin D, I mean, it's important for humans and it's important for animals.
Yeah. Well, and just the enrichment too, you know, they were made to be outside, and but they don't, you know, the statistics show us they don't live long outside if unsupervised. So it's really important that we give them that outside time, but we have to figure out how to do it in a safe manner. And you guys have like perfected that. So thank you guys so much for everything that you do. And now we're going to get the carriers.
I'll just add one thing, because it might be really helpful for people getting their cats acclimated to, once they're comfy with the harness, it going out in the backyard or whatever. We never open the door and let him run across the threshold, because then he'll associate that with, he might do it one day when we're not, you know, when we open the door, he might just bolt out. So we always make sure that, you know, he's in his harness and he's clipped in the leash, and then we carry him out the door and plunk him down.
Or in the back. He never associates. It's almost as if there's fire on the ground. He's never, ever, ever allowed to cross the threshold. And that will avoid the door dodging.
Yeah.
Wow.
When he wants to go on a walk, he comes to his bag and he'll sit in it like, take me out.
Or he'll go for his harness, you know.
Mostly fireworks are going off.
Oh my gosh.
This
I love it.
Like mind blowing.
You guys, let's say that again though. Nick, say that again though, as far as like, because I think it's like, oh,
what with the cat, you know, they're so clever. If they start going outside and then, you know, you're taking them in the backyard, whether you have a backyard which is like 5x5 concrete or, you know, 50x50 grass with a tree, once they get used to that, they'll start and crave it. So you just don't want to ever let them walk out with their leash to that environment. They never want to be able to connect the two dots. So that's why we always, still to this day, never let Maverick just, you know, when we open the door, run across the threshold. We always carry him out, so he doesn't put two and two together. So he's from one environment to the other, rather than him making, you know, that his, it's his own thing. And he can just, that'll avoid you having a lot of door dodges. Which,
like, you come home with groceries and you're juggling a million things and then poof, the cat's out.
Yeah, door dashing is like a big thing that, you know, a lot of us deal with. And that is absolutely brilliant.
Okay, so this is the first of a couple interviews that we're going to have to do with you guys, because we are... Literally,
and we're always here to help, because, you know, we stumbled upon all this stuff by trial and error. And I think, you know, sometimes it's crazy. I look at Kayla and I'm like, I didn't know anything about, you know, this stuff. And we just stumbled upon it. Everything from, like, you know, the life jacket, with my background, you know, with wakeboarding, with us making it out of neoprene. You couldn't even think about having a life jacket made out of neoprene. And, you know, there's just so many weird things like that we just stumbled upon, like the litter box in the bag, and then figuring out that the cats do not want to be zipped inside. You know, that was mind blowing for us, because they're problem solvers. And whenever they're in a situation where they don't think they can get out of, they're just constantly obsessed with figuring out how to get out, you know?
Yeah.
So this is an amazing way that we can really, it's not only going to be really enriching. I'm so excited right now. I just feel so, I'm so surprised. Like, I was waiting for like the professional tips and tricks, and absolutely, but I just feel like you guys just put it all into a whole different perspective,
which is so, and it's simple, and it's something that all of us can do, right? So I mean, it's
going to be so enriching for our cats, and it's going to be such a huge comfort. Like you said, Kayla, in the beginning, like having an emergency plan, if there is a fire, if there is a flood, that is a horrifying thought. And it's something that I don't have a resolution to in my mind. You know, these are the kinds of things that we can do incrementally, acclimating our cats so that they know that when it's time to go, we jiggle the little bell, or they see the little feather, and into their carriers they go, and it's off to the races. I mean, I just feel like this is just game changing psychologically for us humans. Yeah. And I think it's going to be so enriching for our babies.
Yep. So we got to get the word out there, guys. Yes. Link is in the description to check out Surfer Cat and all the products. Again, you can find Surfer Cat on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all the informational videos out there for free. So
your Instagram is absolute fire. So
we love it.
Thank you guys for everything you do. We are already looking forward to next time.
Yes. So
thank you so much for having us on.
I love you.